The Baudelaires had been so very quiet and thinking so very hard that when the Quagmires sat down across from them at dinner time and said in unison, "We've solved your problem," it was more of a startle than a relief. "Goodness," Violet said, "you startled me." "I thought you'd be relieved," Duncan said. "Didn't you hear us? We said we've solved your problem."
"We're startled and relieved," Klaus said. "What do you mean, you've solved our problem? My sisters and I have been thinking about it all day, and we've gotten nowhere.
We don't know what Coach Genghis is up to, although we're sure he's up to something, and we don't know how we can avoid meeting him after dinner, although we're sure that he'll do something terrible if we do."
"At first I thought he might simply be planning to kidnap us," Violet said.
"But he wouldn't have to be in disguise to do that."
"And at first I thought we should call Mr. Poe after all," Klaus said, "and tell him what's going on. But if Count Olaf can fool an advanced computer, he'll surely be able to fool an average banker."
"Teresa," Sonny said in agreement.
"Duncan and I have been thinking about it all day, too," Isadora said.
"I filled up 5.5 pages of my notebook writing down possible ideas, and Duncan filled up 3.
"I write smaller," Duncan explained, handing his fork to Violet so she could take her turn at the meatloaf they were having for dinner.
"Right before lunch we compared notes," Isadora continued, "and the two of us had the same idea, so we sneaked away and put our plan into action."
"That's why we weren't at lunch," Duncan explained. "You'll notice that there are puddles of beverages on our tray instead of glasses."
"Well, you can share our glasses," Klaus said, handing his to Isadora, "just like you're letting us share your silverware. But what is your plan? What did you put into action?"
Duncan and Isadora looked at one another, smiled, and leaned in close to the Baudelaires so they could be sure no one would overhear.
"We propped open the back door of the auditorium," Duncan said. He and Isadora smiled triumphantly and leaned back in their chairs. The Baudelaires did not feel triumphant. They felt confused. They did not want to insult their friends, who had broken the rules and sacrificed their drinking glasses just to help them. But they were unable to see how propping open the back door of the auditorium was a solution to the trouble in which they found themselves.
"I'm sorry," Violet said, after a pause. "I don't understand how propping open the back door of the auditorium solves our problem."
"Don't you see?" Isadora asked. "We're going to sit in the back of the auditorium tonight, and as soon as Nero begins his concert, we will tiptoe out and sneak over to the front lawn. That way we can keep an eye on you and Coach Genghis. If anything fishy happens, we will run back to the concert and alert Vice Principal Nero."
"It's the perfect plan, don't you think?" Duncan asked. "I'm rather proud of my sister and me, if I do say so myself."
The Baudelaire children looked at one another doubtfully. They didn't want to disappoint their friends or criticize the plan that the Quagmire triplets had cooked up, particularly since the Baudelaires hadn't cooked up any plan themselves. But Count Olaf was so evil and so clever that the three siblings couldn't help but think that propping a door open and sneaking out to spy on him was not much of a defense against his treachery.
"We appreciate you trying to solve our problem," Klaus said gently. "But Count Olaf is an extremely treacherous person. He always has something up his sleeve. I wouldn't want you to get into any danger on our behalf."
"Don't talk nonsense," Isadora said firmly, taking a sip from Violet's glass. "You're the ones in danger, and it's up to us to help you. And we're not frightened of Olaf. I'm confident this plan is a good one." The Baudelaires looked at one another again. It was very brave of the Quagmire triplets not to be frightened of Olaf and to be so confident about their plan. But the three siblings could not help but wonder if the Quagmire should be so brave. Olaf was such a wretched man that it seemed wise to be frightened of him, and he had defeated so many of the Baudelaires' plans that it seemed a little foolish to be so confident about this one. But the children were so appreciative of their friend's efforts that they said nothing more about the matter. In the years to come, the Baudelaire orphans would regret this time when they said nothing more about the matter. But in the meantime, they merely finished their dinner with the Quagmires, passing silverware and drinking glasses back and forth and trying to talk about other things. They discussed other projects they might do to improve the orphan's shack and what other matters they might research in the library, and what they could do about Sonny's problem with the staples, which were running out quite rapidly, and before they knew it, dinner was over. The Quagmires hurried off to the violin recital, promising to sneak out as quickly as they could, and the Baudelaires walked out of the cafeteria and over to the front lawn.